And I don't wanna be my mama, mama, na 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 na.
Okay, should we do this?
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Yep.
Ready enough.
Wait, I need a burp. Oh, that was weak.
What's going on, everybody? This is League Pass and Chill. This is Gadi Natalovic speaking, not Olgun Ulic. He's not with us. I'm joined by Ted Smith for an emergency podcast. This is like the one time it's actually an emergency. Like, we like to do emergency pods and the NBA world likes to do emergency pods. Well, today's an emergency, I'd call it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Addressing the elephant not in the room, Olgun Ulic.
How do you feel about that?
Okay, that was a weird way to put it, but he's over in the US. He's actually right now at the Sixers Golden State game. We're recording Friday afternoon, so he's not with us. By the way, I was correct. They did not manage, the trio in the US did not manage
yes.
to record a podcast yes. last week. So if you want to blame anyone, go ahead and blame them. But getting to the NBA, How good is it that a day of NBA action hasn't even gotten underway and yet the entire world is focused on the NBA as a league? Because
it's amazing. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
I mean, this time yesterday, our lead story was going to be AD. It's been pushed back to third in a matter of 24 hours.
Yeah, and that's
and just... it feels like less of a big deal. Because of what's just happened.
And what has just happened is a trade. So to give you context, Kristaps Porzingis is now a Dallas Maverick. The process at 4:45 a.m. roughly, Adrian Wojnarowski reported that Porzingis was meeting with New York management and that like he wasn't too happy. And so you could see where this might have been heading in like a day, in 2 days, maybe in a week. Well, like less than 2 hours later, it was reported that Kristaps Porzingis was going to go to the Dallas Mavericks in a trade. So the full trade is Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, Trey Burke, to Dallas, and then the New York Knicks are getting back Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and 2 first-round picks. So one is a 2021 unprotected pick, one is a 2023 protected pick, 1 through 10. First of all, what?
That was well handled by you, Gadi. A lot to get through, mate.
Yeah, just get the details out there.
Yeah, and now they're out there. But in regards to Porzingis, when you look back on it, do you think that it was always destined to fail, given what we know now, given that the track record they've had since they picked up the 7'2" Lithuania? Where's he from?
He's either isn't he Latvian or something?
Yeah, that's one. I knew it started with an L. So
he's European.
Yeah, and he's gone to the place where all great Europeans want to play, apparently. Dallas Mavericks, Nowitzki, Doncic.
Right. Isn't this fun because it's like we've watched Luka, let's just go with that, play with like a Dirk that doesn't really belong in the NBA anymore. And it's
the ghost of Dirk.
Yeah, it's kind of like the conversation has been like, oh, I wonder what it would have looked like if Luka had played with Dirk in his prime. And now we're in a position where we might actually get to see that because, yes, Porzingis is not Dirk in his prime yet, but he certainly has the potential to be that and more, I think.
You are setting a high ceiling, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
but yeah, he's
a 7'3" unicorn.
Potential absolute bona fide superstar for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. The talking points, obviously, what New York have done is trade away the one thing that makes Knicks fans happy.
I feel sorry for them.
the last remaining like golden hope in New York is gone.
Yeah, it's how all their basketball chats finished. The last thing they would say was, but we have Porzingis.
Right, exactly.
Negative, 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 but we have Porzingis. Well, now you don't. But they are setting it up so they get an absolute college basketball lord in Zion, right? That they're trying to increase their chances of him coming. Or do you think the addition of DeAndre Jordan and Dennis Smith Jr. decreases their chances of getting, because now they have more potential to win games down the stretch?
Well, I think if I'm the Knicks, I'm buying out DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews, first of all. Like, I
get out of here.
They need to be bought out before March 1, by the way, if they're going to play playoff basketball for another team this year. Scott Perry has said that, like, he's not planning on, that's the Knicks GM, he's not planning on buying him out. There's no mention of a buyout yet. He's saying that the veterans can help the young Knicks. I don't think they want to help the young Knicks. By the way, I think it's pretty funny that they've landed Dennis Smith Jr. in a trade after passing on him in the draft. It's just like more Knicks dysfunction. I think, yes, there's them targeting Zion, and they should be trying to lose, I think. And then there's also the cap space that they created with some expiring contracts.
Mountains of it.
Mountains. I think it's going to be $74 million going into the summer. Can somebody say, like, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving going to New York?
There has been
a revolution.
I have heard that conversation previously.
See, like, it's all, I mean, all of this kind of depends on whether New York think they can land, like, free agents that are going to be on the market, and you've got to think that they've got some sort of inkling that they can. Otherwise, why make this move?
I mean, New York over the last, what, eight years have been dysfunctional because of their owner.
Yeah.
Do you think this is like a result of more dysfunction, or do you think they've turned the corner and they're starting to actually make some decent basketball decisions? Because this doesn't seem... For a New York Knicks fan, you'd be distraught. But outside looking in, without having a horse in the race, I don't think it's terrible considering Porzingis hadn't bought in really since his first season.
Yeah, look, I think when the trade first got announced, everyone was like, what in the world is going on?
It's a big name. It's a splash.
Then the context came with the cap space and the picks and Dennis Smith Jr., like a young star that's kind of been overshadowed by Luka in his second year in the league. And then you start to think, all right, like maybe things aren't so bad. But then then you've also got to keep in mind, like, the Knicks are in a position where they've built at least a foundation where they can create some success. But do you trust them to actually get that job done? Like, that's the question. From this position, yes, they have cap room. They have decent draft position, all that stuff. That's great. But now you've got to actually follow through and execute. And they've shown pretty extensively in the past decade that they can't execute anything.
Well, ever since that huge... That huge contract they gave to Melo, it seems everything's gone to shit.
Yeah. So, look, I think for the Dallas Mavericks, this is super exciting. Mark Cuban, I reckon, comes out a huge winner in this because they've been trying to land a superstar for how long now? And they're a healthy Porzingis away and probably another Doncic season away from having two legitimate superstars in the NBA.
On that... a healthy Porzingis. There was talk a couple of weeks back that Porzingis thought he was ready to play, but the Knicks were holding him back, obviously to decrease their chances of winning because of the Zion sweepstakes. Who knows when Porzingis could be back? If he thought he was nearing full fitness or capable of playing a month ago, there's a chance he plays after the All-Star break for the Mavericks.
If that's true, that'd be huge for them. I don't know, like, now losing DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews and Dennis Smith, obviously. Those are three pretty legitimate role players in that team. Over time, like, a healthy Porzingis is obviously a huge plus. I was thinking, like, maybe the Knicks knew something about Kristaps that no one else
did.
That's
what I thought originally.
Like, health-wise, because, I mean, he is a seven-plus footer that has had his injury problems. And normally if the injury problems start early on, they don't really go away for these big guys.
That's right. It's not just this injury. This is his most serious injury, but this is his third injury where he's had some serious time off. But in saying that, they're only five spots out of eight in the West.
So. And that's not a lot of wins in the West. No. Like, how many wins are they off eight?
Well, yeah, they're five wins off, five wins off eight. But there's so many good teams in the West that, you know, other teams are going to help you catch up. If you can start being successful, then,
Look,
that eighth spot is the Clippers, who have had a struggling start to 2019.
There's no guarantees that Kristaps signs long-term in Dallas, but he's a big fan of Dirk. He's a big fan of Luka. And I don't know. I think this, like, I know this is not how the NBA world works, but this one just kind of makes sense and looks right for me. The whole, like, Kristaps following on from the Dirk thing, along with his young European superstar, I feel like the Mavs are going to create this little, like, this little decade or two of Western Conference contention, maybe dominance, depending on who else they can add. But either way, it's going to be pretty exciting because Luka has already proven to be one of the most exciting players in the NBA. And Kristaps, when he does play, is a 7'2", 7'3" unicorn. Those things are exciting.
One more thing on that. Couldn't you see Porzingis and Cuban having a decent relationship?
100%. Like, I mean, if Cuban had a good relationship with Dirk, then... Yeah. I mean, I know we can't just equate every tall European to Dirk, but...
Yeah, but the point is that it's more about Cuban and how he puts his arm around his players, especially his superstars. In contrast that to how the New York Knicks treated Porzingis, going all the way back to Phil, clash with owners, like Porzingis not going to the final meeting of the year of the 2016-2017 season. I think it's going to be completely different.
There's also, like, Dirk's, this might be his final playing year, but Porzingis is going to come in there, and they've worked together in the past, but having him as an actual teammate, as a mentor day in, day out, and then just like Tim Duncan did with the Spurs, I assume Dirk will be in and around the Mavs building for years to come. And if Porzingis is there, there is literally no better person to be dealing with for Porzingis than Dirk.
Yeah.
So this is like, I don't know, this is kind of one of those fun trades where, like, I don't mind it at all.
It's a fun trade.
I don't think Porzingis necessarily fit the New York superstar mold. Maybe that's their problem for building up like a Carmelo-type superstar, like... cliche that doesn't seem to actually bring in wins, but I don't think he ever really fit the Madison Square Garden shtick.
No, you need someone that can roll with Jay-Z, essentially.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't see Jay-Z rolling with a white Latvian who's like double his height. But it does, as we said, free up quite a bit of cap room, enough that if they were to convince KD and Kyrie to come, that makes sense for the Knicks. Like, that makes sense for Madison Square Garden.
Huge.
And that would, obviously, this is a kind of trade that could spark a league-altering transformation around the league, you know?
Yeah, like, and given the amount of free agents on the market at the end of this season, next year is going to be unbelievable.
On that, I was speaking to Oaks today, and the buyout candidates from this trade, obviously the likes of DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and then on the other side, maybe Courtney Lee. If you're the Sixers, you got to be looking at Wesley Matthews and Courtney Lee if they are bought out. That's the extra shooting that the Sixers have been looking for and needing and so desperately needed.
Well, Wesley Matthews, he's shooting 38% from beyond the arc this year.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're right. That's exactly what they need.
I think if they could land Wesley Matthews, they go a long way to competing when things get tight in the Eastern Conference.
His stat line for this year, 13 points, 2.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. That's not bad.
He's the kind of player that doesn't need the ball in his hands and will stand there. And his hot streaks are like red hot. Like, he can win you a game going 7-for-9 from 3-point range. He's done it plenty of times in his career. That could be a go. I know the Knicks are saying that there's like they can help the young Knicks and all this crap.
His last game was against the Knicks, funnily enough.
I don't see why they'd bother keeping DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews, but that's just me.
It would not make sense, though.
No, it doesn't make sense for anything that the Knicks are trying to do. So that was that was this morning. It now feels like hours ago because so much has happened. Like, it is an official trade. Like, they've done the whole phone call to the league office. There were no name complications, name mix-ups.
So answer this question.
Yeah.
Porzingis plays for?
The Dallas Mavericks.
It's official. It is official.
And the internet has had so much fun, by the way, with those, like, Kristaps and Luka memes already. It's just, like, it's high-quality internet action. I suggest, if you haven't seen it,
internet,
those at home, go have a look-see, because it is pretty good. Now, that's, like, one-third of the NBA madness. The other thing, like, the other trade and or free agency and or superstar news is the Anthony Davis stuff, which, in case you didn't know, the really tall bloke with the monobrow doesn't want to play in New Orleans anymore. And that came out earlier this week and now feels like a month ago because of everything that's happened since. But essentially, Anthony Davis wants a trade out of New Orleans, away from the Pelicans. It's said that he wants to go to Los Angeles, which makes sense considering who his agent is. And the Lakers obviously want to get him before the deadline. As reported, the Lakers, Bucks, Raptors, Knicks, I'm not really sure anymore. I don't know if they count. And the Denver Nuggets are said to be a kind of dark horse, are the teams that are interested.
Surely the Knicks GM just needs a rest. Needs a bit of a lay down.
Relax,
A-day, sorry, mate.
Yeah, you'd think. And then obviously the big one, the Celtics, who have to wait until the summer because of the Rose Rule. They're probably the team that can come up with the best package, but they can't do anything before the February 8th deadline. That's February 8th in Australia. So to explain, if anyone doesn't know what the Rose Rule is, it essentially allows a player finishing his rookie contract to make 30% of a team's salary cap, up from 25% if he's twice been voted as an All-Star, twice been voted All-NBA, or won an MVP.
Convoluted. Jesus. Right.
But because the Celtics acquired Irving via trade in August 2017, they cannot deal for Davis or any other player that has signed such an extension until Irving leaves or agrees to a new deal. And that's why, because Kyrie can't sign a new deal until July 1st, 2019.
Is my nose bleeding?
Just getting the details out there.
Wow.
They cannot make a move for AD yet.
Which is an all-time conundrum, because the only way that the Celtics could get AD is if their best friend, if his good friend, Kyrie Irving, recruited him.
Mm.
Right? But Kyrie's got to be out of there if they would assign him instantly. So they could get him in free agency. What is it, June?
Yeah. July. No, July.
July. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, Where to start?
Okay, so essentially, like, it's kind of devolved from it all being about AD to now. Now there's Lonzo updates. So now Lonzo, apparently, if he's involved in any trade, which he almost definitely would be, wants there to be a third team involved. Apparently, his preferred destinations are Chicago and New York.
That's all good and well, but he has absolutely no say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for your opinion.
Yeah, you average point guard.
Yeah.
Then New Orleans general manager Dell Demps apparently wasn't answering calls. It was like a very very literal way to avoid negotiations and just like stay in a state of denial. Like, well, I'm not going to pick it up.
Okay. Or is this 2019 and he's like everyone else, just afraid of getting a telemarketer?
Ooh.
Screens it.
I think there actually were reports of like widespread telemarketing in the US. So maybe that could have been it. I don't want to speak too early. But apparently Dell Demps now is taking phone calls.
Okay.
Including phone calls from the Lakers. Although apparently the Pelicans didn't want to trade to the Lakers. This is all in the space of like 3 days, people. I mean, I'm sure you guys at home know. Most recent reporting from Brad Turner at the LA Times is that the Lakers have offered 5 different trade packages, the most attractive of which includes Lonzo, Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Ivica Zubac, and a first rounder. So basically the entire Lakers roster and a first round pick.
Wouldn't the Lakers have to get rid of Pope as well to clear cap space?
He probably would have to go into that, but that's not what was, initially reported. But yeah, so they're essentially going like, we'll give you everyone. We'll give you all our like C plus, B minus.
They've just opened the cupboard and been like, what? Take whatever you want.
Okay, instead of giving you like a 9, we'll give you 3 3s.
Yeah.
Like that's their thinking. Hopefully adding up to whatever Davis is. I don't know if...
But then they've got assets for other desperate teams to try and turn them into decent draft picks as well.
Mm.
But the Pelicans, they're just one. They're owned by a football team. The owner of the Saints owns the Pelicans. The doctors for the Saints tend to the players for the basketball team. This is why they don't. This is why all stars like AD, like Chris Paul, want out. They're not the priority for their owner. We were talking about Mark Cuban before. There is a basketball owner that looks after his team. Oh, man, like who's going to stay if they go?
Well, the thing is, right, so we've now got a situation where the Pelicans have had 7 years of Anthony Davis, 6 years of Chris Paul, and have won two playoff series. You've got two, like, all-time talents.
Top 50 players all time.
Yeah, and you've won two playoff series in the past however many years that is.
Their roster this year is good.
It's good. It really is good. And it doesn't, like...
And I don't think the coach is a complete bust. I've heard him talk. I think he's a decent communicator. He's respectful and looks like he gets respect. I don't know what it is. We spoke about it earlier this week. I had the idea that it may be the players around AD depend too much on AD when he's out there because he is so good. They expect him to carry them over the line if the line's within reach. So outside of that, I can't explain why they haven't been pushing for a top four spot as opposed to limping into the final.
Well, that's a strange thing, right? Like, their roster's good enough. AD is, on paper, among NBA public, he is that 1A superstar. That guy that, if he's got the right guys around him, could potentially lead your team to a championship. I think this, if AD does push for this trade, and it looks like it's going to happen, he's almost got to...
You think it's going to happen before the deadline?
I think it might.
Oh!
I think he then... But even him just pushing for this trade is almost conceding the fact that he can't be that 1A guy. Like, I'm not good enough to get...
Everybody's doing it. Yeah. Everybody's doing that now. But it's like, yeah, I can't win, so I'm going to go to someone who can help me.
But see, like, he should be doing so much better with this Pelicans roster. So it's either like, oh, all right, AD needs another dude. And by another dude, another like superstar in LeBron James.
A legit, yeah.
Or he needs to like try to do the whole like I'm going to win by myself thing. I have no issue with superstars teaming up. Makes sense. It's an easier game for yourself. But then he can't be in the conversation for top five players in the NBA because he's done pretty much nothing with this Pelicans team for the past 7 years.
Yeah.
And by the way, the reason I think AD is pushing so hard for this move to LA is he's essentially saying like if I get traded to any other team, I'm going to be a rental kid. And then I'm going to leave for LA in 2020. 2020 LeBron James is going to be real old.
Yeah.
He's going to be what, 35?
Yeah.
You're banking on
How old was Jordan when he won his last championship? 33.
Jesus, I don't know.
Mid 30s.
The point is, the Lakers are a team which supposedly has young talent, but they're not really that transcendent. They've proven to be pretty average young talent. You've got LeBron James. Yes, LeBron James is not a normal NBA player. Yes,
and he's cerebral as well.
He will probably be as good as the top dudes when he is 35, but
he'll still be a top 10 player.
You reckon?
When he's 35.
He probably will be. Yeah, you're right.
He's not great from three, but he can shoot the three and he brings other players in. Right, and he'll still be, 125 kilos and 6'8". Like, he'll still be bumping a fair few people out for boards.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And then, obviously, AD has the... I mean...
AD will be in his prime. He'll be 27.
AD will be in his prime. And then you also got to think, like, what's more fun, losing in New Orleans or losing in LA? Like, at least AD will still be in LA if he does lose games.
That's the thought that did it for him. He's like,
Go to the beach after or...
Yeah.
So, look. I think this is going to happen before the deadline.
Okay. I'll respectfully disagree, but your answer makes me excited.
So. Why do you disagree?
Because why not just wait until free agency, until the end of the season, and then get a bidding war?
Because I think AD is going to kick up such a fuss and put the message out there that if you take me, I am not staying for more than a year. I'm going to go as soon as I become a free agent. As soon as I get the chance, I'm going to get out of there.
That did not stop OKC. That did not stop the Raptors.
You're right. But
And, you know, imagine Okay, outside of the Lakers, where would be fun for AD to go? And can you imagine him on the Raptors right now?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they're one of the teams that are interested, they're just going like all in on this, right?
But this year they have to.
Yeah.
They have to.
And imagine like a little Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis dynasty in Toronto.
Okay, and then imagine if they win it and they both leave.
Then there's the Bucks. Imagine just like Giannis and AD together. I have no idea how that would ever make sense on a basketball court.
If you just rock up and I'm not playing them.
Yeah, it's just like...
They look like the monsters.
Exactly. I was about to say that. It doesn't look like two humans on a basketball court. It's like, no, you've got seven, given how long you are. We've got five normal-sized people. You've got three and two aliens. So we're not going to play you. Yeah, it's kind of like a sad end. I feel really bad for New Orleans fans because they've just gone through.
Well, they have one of the best players, but their TV ratings are always amongst the worst.
And yeah, they don't get many people into the arenas and stuff. Like, it does beg the question, like, how viable is this Pelicans? Is this New Orleans franchise? Like,
I was about to ask you, do you think they are still a thing in 10 years' time? In 10 years, I don't think
so.
In five years, maybe.
They had Chris Paul and they had Anthony Davis, two guys that have been pretty easy sells to the NBA public in the sense like this is a very exciting thing to watch, and they've not been able to sell it.
I think there are some players that could lift a franchise.
Yeah,
but I don't know if AD has the charisma to carry a whole franchise on his back from the doldrums all the way to great success.
Probably not. And they're also
KD could, right?
Yeah.
Irving could. Ben Simmons could.
Yeah.
But that kind of panache.
Yeah, there was a bunch of nonsense about trade Ben to New Orleans.
As an Australian, that made me so angry.
Go away. go away.
They're not trading a 6'11 point guard, please.
Yeah, and they're not putting Davis next to Joel Embiid. That does not make sense, people.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is kind of a weird one for New Orleans with Davis and just the idea of, all right, well, if we lose Davis, for them, the idea of bringing in like a bunch of half-baked like young dudes from the Lakers, like that's going to do nothing for the crowd.
Are they half-baked because weed's legal in California? Or?
No, have you seen Brandon Ingram's eyes? That dude looks constantly... Yeah. Anyway, and then what? They're going to hope... Like the only thing that could potentially save this organization is getting a first-round pick from someone that turns into the number one pick and gets them Zion, right?
Well, I'd watch the Pelicans more if Zion was there.
I think that's the only thing that can really like make them an attractive destination again. He's got that kind of like transcendent LeBron excitement, rookie LeBron excitement.
Proper aura.
Right. So that's the Anthony Davis stuff.
I'm sweating over him, man.
Yeah, it is kind of stressful because you're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. There also was some weird report about Kyrie Irving potentially wanting to rejoin LeBron James.
Was it Bucher from Bleacher Report?
I don't know if I really believe any of that. But
yeah, you got to remember, it's like, oh, it's a report from Bleacher. And it's like, yeah, Bleacher, who are also trying to get people to read their articles.
Yeah, like the one thing about... American sports journalism is they normally only report things that are fairly legit, right?
They don't straight up make stuff up.
Yeah, like I don't know if anyone at home like follows the English Premier League and that sort of stuff. Like websites legitimately just make stuff up.
Harry Kane has two dads.
For sure. Talking more transfer stuff than
okay,
right? But yeah, the NBA is normally pretty good. I don't really understand the timing of all of this. Look, he might have heard that from someone, but it might be for ulterior reasons that he did hear that news. It might be stuff to just unsettle the Celtics, unsettle...
The timing was right, given that Kyrie called LeBron 2 weeks ago. And was like, oh man, you were right this whole time.
And it's also the whole like, well, if the Celtics are trying to tell Anthony Davis to be patient and wait to the summer, but Irving's going to leave... Then why would he wait?
Well,
and all that.
Would it be a bad thing for the Celtics, considering that Tatum and Brown are much better players when Kyrie isn't on the court? look it up. The stats are stats.
Numbers. Look at the numbers. Yeah, look, Kyrie Irving is like one of those weird, like I'm a leader, but I'm not a leader, guys. Weirdly, he's going to coach Team USA All-Star weekend.
I want to lead a team to NBA glory. Hey, we need more leaders on this team.
I don't want to be the second guy, but we need more leaders.
It's like, you know, that Rick James?
Yeah.
No, I didn't put my feet on his couch. Yeah, I did.
Okay, so that's the trade stuff. That's the madness that's been going on the past few days. If you didn't know that stuff was happening, I don't know where you've been. You might have just slept in this morning if you missed the Porzingis stuff, like Ted.
Like I did. God, he's like, oh my God. I'm like, what, man?
I'm just like, open your eyes and read like any website in the world right now.
Yeah.
I was like, to sum it, like I'm driving, but to sum it up, Kristaps Porzingis is a Dallas Maverick. You fill in the rest sort of thing.
Yeah. I was at work until like 12:30 this morning, so he's up. I'm allowed to be in bed at 11.
Yeah, potentially. I woke up to the initial reporting, went back to sleep for 15 minutes, it seemed, and then woke up and figured out that it was all actually happening and it wasn't just some weird NBA dream.
Who wrote our article about that?
Oaks filed from the US.
It was good. I read it. That's how I got caught up. I'll give it a read, foxsports.com.au.
Oh, yeah.
Follow the basketball link.
Ulich is... had a busy day today because he's now, as I said, he's going to go to the Sixers Warriors game. Sorry, and
what a game to be at! That's
and I mean it comes with the extra that he'll be probably speaking to Ben Simmons at some point today about his first All-Star selection. Yeah,
first ever by an Australian, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, how good is that? Like Ben Simmons is an All-Star. He missed out on being a starter. We don't like to use the word snubbed at Fox Sports Australia. We've kind of stayed away from it. If he had missed out on a reserve spot,
oh, we would have thrown snub bombs everywhere.
We had already discussed it. We were going to drop snubbed. We were going to go with it, and it was going to be far more impactful because we've stayed away from it for the past about 2 years. But no, Ben Simmons is an All-Star. So to go through, should we go through both conferences and then talk about like the emissions and the highlights, or should we go through one conference at a time?
Let's go one at a time.
All right. So Eastern Conference, we got Ben Simmons. How good? We got Victor Oladipo, who's obviously injured and will not be partaking, so he'll have to be replaced. Kyle Lowry. We got Blake Griffin. We got Chris Middleton, so a second Milwaukee Buck. We got Bradley Beal and the man that was forgotten but then like became known for being forgotten, Nikola Vucevic, who was putting up numbers in Orlando like the entire year. And then it almost became popular to say that no one was paying attention to him.
Yeah.
So then everyone started paying attention to him.
Yeah. When like the most underrated player becomes slightly overrated because everyone mentions
how like the NBA hipsters start.
Yeah.
And then
we've been guilty of that as well.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But he has gotten in and he's deserved it. He's put up monster
numbers.
I'm
glad he's here. I'm also glad Bradley Beal's here. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He has to be.
Yeah, he wasn't going to miss out, right?
Could understand why he might not make it because Washington...
How bad the Wizards
they're are. A stain on the conference at the moment.
They're a stain.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like...
They're annoying.
Trust me, I don't like the Wizards as much as the next guy, but, I mean, yeah, he definitely...
I mean, they're annoying because I want them to do well because they've got an awesome backcourt when Wall is fit, but they just whinge and not win.
Yeah, so they kind of suck.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry was an interesting one, the kind of pick that coaches would make because he is an important part on that Raptors team and the Raptors are too good to not have two All-Stars. Obviously, it could have been Pascal Siakam. He's had a really good year for the Raptors, but Kyle Lowry's that vet, so he gets the nod with the coaches. Blake Griffin, I'm pretty happy for him. He's like kind of doing his thing for a really, really annoying Detroit side that like Reggie Jackson is just not fun. Their backcourt's not fun.
I feel sorry for him, man.
Yeah, me too.
Because he tries his hardest all the time.
100%.
And now that he's like actually getting a long run of games without an injury, it's like he looks around and it's like, our second best player is another big man. Like I need help on the outside.
You know what the frustrating thing is as well? Like he's improving his game year in, year out. Like that's Blake Griffin's the kind of guy that you could have understood once he signed that deal with the Clippers and then got shipped off to Detroit, just going like, I'm settling. Like, this is me. I'm never going to be that 1A superstar according to the rest of the league.
I've had a pretty good run.
No, like, the dude's draining threes. He's draining step-back threes. Like, his game is developing. He is getting better as a basketball player. It's just a shame that he's in Detroit now, so it doesn't mean a whole lot. But he got the All-Star recognition, which is great. In terms of the emissions, Jimmy Butler... was never going to carry much favor with coaches, you could say.
Yeah, yeah. That's
hasn't exactly...
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. And then D'Angelo Russell, who...
Should be there.
You reckon?
I mean, when they replace VR,
yeah,
I think
that's
it'll
the
be
question,
D'Angelo.
Right? Who gets Victor Oladipo's spot? I probably also agree that it should be D'Angelo Russell, just because someone from the Nets has to get some recognition. Like, they're in the sixth seed right now.
Look,
they shouldn't be in the sixth seed. Someone has to have had a big hand in that. I personally don't think it's one guy at the Nets. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie just had a great year.
Jared Allen
at the start of the year, Caris LeVert. And then, obviously, D'Angelo Russell didn't start the season that well, but he's been kind of on a tear now. And
he's in career form.
Yeah, I can see the argument for him making it. So
they've lost, like, not many games at all in the 2019 year. So since
January, they're on a crazy streak.
Their last 10 games, they've won 8 of them, and they've had some good competition in those games as well.
Yeah, I mean, I could still see Butler getting selected just because a lot of the time the call-ups for injured players don't necessarily go on merit, because last year Ben Simmons should have been an all-star. Once we got to like the third or fourth guard that was getting like called up, and he was getting snubbed for
Goran
Dragic.
So there were a lot of, I remember Jalen Rose saying last year that the coaches wouldn't pick Ben Simmons because they don't like having rookies.
Exactly.
But I think because Doncic came, what was it, second or third overall in the fan vote?
Yeah.
That the fans kind of forced the coach's hand.
Yeah. But
do
he
you know
didn't
what
make
mean?
It.
Doncic?
Yeah. He's not an all-star. We'll all get right to that, Teddy.
Holy
mackerel, Ted has
okay,
just seen the list in front of him.
Okay, like I said, I woke up 2 hours ago. Come on. Okay, so that's confirmed then. The coaches don't like
confirmed.
Oh.
But yeah, so look, one person is going to replace Oladipo. It's going to be between Butler and Russell. Probably should be Russell. Definitely wouldn't be surprised if it was Butler, to be honest. Then looking over to the Western Conference
that I've studied up
that
real
Ted
hard on
has definitely concentrated on. We have Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple Double at an incredibly inefficient rate. Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Karl Anthony Towns. Ted.
I hate Kat. I told you they'd pick Klay.
Yeah, they kind of had to. He's the perfect coach's pick, because I promise you, every coach in the NBA dreams of having a Klay Thompson on their team.
He improves
every
team.
There is no team that doesn't improve with Klay Thompson on it. He's averaging 22 points a game, which is 18th best in the league as well. That's really picked up recently. So like
he had a shocking end to 2018 and 2019. I was like, oh, that's right, I'm the second best
that's
shooter
right
in the world.
I'm really good at basketball.
Yeah.
The locks were obviously Westbrook, Davis, Jokic. I'd say Lillard was a lock, and then Klay became a lock. The two, I guess, I would call them, what do you reckon, like 50-50s? LaMarcus Aldridge got in and Karl Anthony Towns got in. Towns notably tweeted out after just, I think, wow. So I think it even surprised him that he got in.
Yeah.
So the notable omissions from the West.
Draymond, a lot more on the West.
Yeah. Draymond Green's not going to be an all-star this year for the first time in a couple years. And I think that's fair enough. Like, his offense has been pretty much a dog's breakfast.
Comical, his 3-point shoot.
Luka Doncic, who as a Ted would have him in there if
he's in my list.
But yeah, again, being a rookie, you got to be doing something absolutely, like, I mean, to be fair, you can't even say it in something never before seen, because Ben Simmons was doing that last year. It's got to be like pretty clear that you're one of the best players in the league already.
If Zion doesn't make it next year, a rookie will never make it again. Seriously.
Yeah, probably right. Derrick Rose, thank God he did not make it. I would have really been sad if we had Derrick Rose in the All-Star game. And then you got DeMar DeRozan, who lost out to, I think there was always going to be one San Antonio Spur in there. They gave it to Aldridge over DeMar. It's probably fair enough, although I don't think DeMar DeRozan got enough credit for essentially doing everything at the start of the year when the Spurs didn't have a ball handler, and he was essentially playing like a point guard and putting up like some big assist games and whatever. Tobias Harris is the product of what we talk about the Clippers as. Like, he's kind of that's what's cost him, because we say the Clippers don't have a star. They're a bunch of guys that play really well together. Tobias Harris has been doing ridiculous things.
He's the guy that I would have wanted in there out of the emissions, not just for Tobias Harris in the season he's having, but to give a tip of the cap to Coach Rivers for the job he's done. They're currently in eighth, which isn't great, but considering the talent they've lost in the last two seasons, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, to have a much worse team, and DeAndre Jordan as well. This year, if someone had told you, oh, the Clippers were going to come last, you'd believe them. With the rosters and Rivers' last few seasons.
Potentially.
Okay, not... I told you, we don't count the Suns.
Okay.
Like last in the
West. Yeah, right, fair.
But they would have been in the chat, right? So the fact that they're in the chat for the playoffs, I think it would have been nice to get Tobias Harris in there.
Yeah.
And on with you, DeRozan... maybe over Aldridge. I know they play different positions, but
you can.
Like, if I was going to have a Spurs player in there, it would have been DeRozan.
Like, we talk about Karl Anthony Towns. We talk about certain players that put up numbers but don't really affect winning, and I think he's one of those guys. You look at Tobias Harris. He's had a bit over 21 points a game, just under 8 rebounds a game, on 50% shooting from the field, 43% from three, and 88% from the free throw line. So he's a 2% away from the free throw line from being in the 50-40-90 club, averaging over 20 points a game for a team in the playoffs, in the playoff spots right now. Karl Anthony Towns is putting up massive numbers, sure, and he has...
He always does.
He has had a really good January, but the Timberwolves aren't a winning team in their current format, and I think that has to be talked about. The other two omissions are Jazz players, and I think... That's going to be the one that's talked about a little bit. Ben Simmons is probably smirking to himself because Donovan Mitchell is not an all-star in his second year. And Rudy Gobert missed out. So if you want to try to figure out a Jazz player that would have made the all-star team, it was always going to be either Mitchell or Gobert. I personally think that Mitchell hasn't had a good enough all-round season to be an all-star. He's had a great month.
Great January.
He's had a great month, but... I don't really see... I think he was kind of carried for a long time by the rest of the Jazz players. I don't really see him as an all-star.
Do you think the Stifle Tower was hurt by his outburst earlier this season? Because he had like a three-week stretch where he was just like giving it to refs and they were giving it back to him.
Maybe. I just don't think like Gobert is one of those players that will never be like a first thought when you're thinking like, okay, so we need to pick players for like an all-star game.
Yeah, he's closer to Andrew Bogut than he is Anthony Davis.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit tough to be like, well, what's Rudy going to do in the all-star game?
Block someone.
Yeah, like no one wants to see that. Yeah. Karl Anthony Towns is a much more enjoyable big man to watch in an all-star game.
Like, I'd rather watch Jared Allen block people because of that.
Because of the beautiful throw.
It's so good.
Yeah, so, I mean... You have been a little bit shown up, though, by Karl Anthony Towns' inclusion. You're not a fan.
I mean, yeah, but, like, I agree with Karl Anthony Towns himself. I'm surprised that I'm not actually surprised that he made it. But, because he does put up great numbers, right? But I always go back to when we're talking about him. Jimmy Butler said they struggle mentally, and he just continues to prove it. Like he plays okay against average teams, but in the important games when it matters, he doesn't rock up. But look at his last playoff game that he had last year. If you don't believe, look it up yourself. You know, he sucked. He sucked. He got single digit points in the biggest game of the year.
It is kind of funny though that Towns is in and Butler isn't, because you know that's going to affect Jimmy's mind.
Well, it might affect it in a positive fashion. Remember when Ben Simmons didn't make the All-Star team last year after the All-Star break?
He went on a bit of a madness.
Absolutely. So Jimmy Butler with the chip on his shoulder, another chip on his shoulder, because he seems like he's always got one. It could be good things.
The other thing is I think like a team in a similar situation to the Nets where the Sacramento Kings, where like a couple players maybe could have got a shout. Maybe the likes of De'Aaron Fox or Buddy Hield could have had a go. It's just the West is so stacked. Like, it really is so stacked. There's not a lot of spots there. Like, the Aldridge and Towns being 50-50s, they would have been proper locks in the East. But that's a difficulty of playing in the Western Conference, I guess.
Yeah. It's a lot tougher than the East, especially, like, when you take... But the top four teams in the East, can match it with the West, but outside of that, there's a huge gulf in terms of talent.
So that was the All-Star reserves that was announced today. So that was the other thing. We to give you an insight, we're almost going to record a podcast last night, which would have been an absolute disaster. I after a full day of work, we were almost going to then record a podcast that would have gone up before the Porzingis stuff, before the AD updates, before the All-Star reserves were announced. Instead, we decided to come in on our off day, and it's still worth it because
yeah.
I would have been sad. I would have been sad if we recorded before today.
Mate, it would have, you know, it would have been awkward.
Yeah, seriously. So we obviously, this is like kind of an emergency pod. It's just Ted and I. For those that don't know, as we said, Olgan's overseas. So is Tom and Harrison. I don't know. Do you know when they're back?
Tom and Harrison are back on the 10th of February.
That's in 10 days.
Yeah, today's the first. Good mass by you. When's Olgan, when's the Hulk's back?
Olgan's is only back at like sometime at the end of Feb. I think maybe like the 21st, but I could be making that date up.
All right, so we'll get the other boys in next week.
Yes, I'm going to Melbourne at some point, but that's a whole nother story. By the way, people, just for context, we're kind of wrapping up now. We got like our numbers from last month. Super exciting. The basketball podcast is growing. People seem to like Lee Pass and Chill.
Tell your friends.
The people upstairs are happy. And we've also got a bit more engagement recently from people on Twitter, like saying they like the show or they're unhappy with it. I got some hate the other day.
Nice.
Like, that's great. I want feedback. So if you do enjoy the show, if you don't like the show,
hated you, man?
Some guy said our other podcast 2 weeks ago was like too short and we needed to stick to basketball because I think we spoke about Kyrgios for a little bit.
Actually, I got another tennis update. I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Sorry, because I told that guy we wouldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, we won't.
Hope you're listening. I do respect you. But yeah, so if you're enjoying things, if you're not enjoying things, let us know. Obviously, this was a bit of a last-minute emergency pod. We weren't too prepared for this, so don't hate too much on this week. We will be back with more, hopefully with a sponsor soon. Keep an ear out and an eye out for that.
I got on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, shit. We have to. Yeah, sorry.
I don't know how it works.
What is your at?
So,
people, Ted. So go to at Ted from LPAC. I like that Ted branded himself with the League Pass and Chill something.
words.
Ted's first tweet was, regarding Twitter, I don't get it. Am I doing it right? I can assure you the content probably won't get better than that because that was actually pretty funny. Okay. So go follow him. If you want to follow me, I'm Gutty_Notelovitz.
If you want to get me going, throw some shade. Let's get some shade.
Type in Lee Pass and Chill and send a tweet out like that, we'll probably find it because we're vain and we search for our podcast. But that's all from us. Thank you for joining. Hope you can join us again whenever we do one next. It'll probably be sometime soon. Love.
We'll drop one next Monday.
We'll try. But that's all from us. Thank you for joining. Check out everything at Fox Basketball. You know the drill. And bye.
Thanks, guys.